You know, I wore this to give you an idea of what Rocky might look like at 65. But some of you, I know what you're thinking. So be kind, will you? Yeah, I know he'd look a lot better than this, right? Hard to believe it's been 37 years since he put on his sweats and his sneakers. And he ran up those steps at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And regardless of what you may think of the Rocky movies, they grossed over $1 billion worldwide. It's pretty phenomenal. And I had forgotten this bit of trivia. Rocky won the Oscar for the best picture in what year? Got it. Just worked the math back, right? Best picture of the year? Must have been a lousy lineup, huh? Now, in the films, Rocky has six fights inside the ring, one fight in the street. But his record of those six fights, he had three wins, all by KO, knockout. And he had three losses, one by a knockout and two by split decision. Rocky was a tough dude. He trained hard and he fought even harder. And today in our series, The Ultimate Fighter, I want us to consider a boxing punch called the haymaker. And the dictionary says the haymaker is a power blow with the fist. And I know what they say about a picture being worth a thousand words, so let me show you a haymaker. That's a haymaker. Pat Benatar put out a challenge with her 1979 hit song with these lines: hit me with your best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot? Hit me with your best shot, fire away. And didn't the band nail that? Woo! Tammy, thank you. Everybody, man, you guys, they are just great. The haymaker is one of the best shots that can be thrown at us. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been hit by a haymaker. And no show of hands, okay? And spouses don't count. That is terrible to say that. Now, fortunately, I can say that I haven't been hit with a haymaker. You see, I grew up believing it was better to be a lover and not a fighter. Anybody else here? I do remember, and it's hard for me to remember at this age in my life, but I remember an altercation on the playground in sixth grade. I was going to a school in Granite City, and how the instigator of the altercation, and it wasn't me, but I observed it firsthand, the instigator lost his playground privileges for many weeks because of what he did. And I determined then and there that fighting had consequences I did not want to face. Pretty smart, wasn't I? So although I've never received a haymaker from another human being, I have received some haymakers in my life. You see, I don't know if you realize it or not, but every day we get in the ring with an opponent. And no, it's not your spouse. It's not your boss. It's not your neighbor. It's not your teacher. This is what Paul tells us about our opponent. I want you to read it along with me. Our fight is not against human beings. It is against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. It is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly world. By just waking up today, we got in the ring with a being who is more ferocious than any human fighter who's ever walked on this earth. That includes Mike Tyson. Tomorrow, when we wake up, guess what? The same thing will take place. And the next day, and the next. Every day of our lives, you and I will be in the ring with the spiritual forces of evil. And these spiritual forces have many punches that they throw at us. Tomorrow, we might get a left jab. Laugh, guys. It's because I don't know how to box. Tuesday, it might be a straight right of envy. And Wednesday, a left hook of greed. Thursday, it's an uppercut of lust. Friday, you get a right cross of unforgiveness. And Saturday brings a flurry of combinations. And you finish off your week. You might think, well, that's it. I can put away the gloves now. But wait. It starts all over again on Sunday. You see, it's not a pleasant thought. But as long as we live, we're going to be in the ring with the spiritual forces of evil and their leader, the devil. And the devil has more than one haymaker in his arsenal, and he can take us out in lots of ways. This morning, I want us to just focus in on three haymakers and how he uses them to try to knock us down and count us out. The first haymaker is shame. When a follower of Christ feels ashamed and guilty over something they've done, the devil robs them of their joy. You can't have the joy God intends for you and feel ashamed at the same time. I hope you know that God doesn't want us walking around feeling ashamed and burdened with guilt over what we've done in our life. I believe shame is the number one destroyer of a believer's joy. And it's one of the devil's greatest haymakers. The second haymaker is uncontrolled, negative, and fearful thoughts. It's been said that if you don't learn how to control your thoughts will control you. Our uncontrolled negative and fearful thoughts can bring all sorts of pain and grief into our lives. And this is a deadly haymaker that the devil throws at us. The third haymaker is self-destructive compulsions. Compulsions are those inner drives, those inner desires that we have. You can call them habits or impulses or lust. Whatever you call them, they're the things in your life that you do even though you know they're wrong. And we've got to learn how to not be knocked down and taken out against the haymaker of self-destructive compulsions. That's all with the gloves. Because I get too dry mouth. Some of you are saying, how's he going to do that? I guess we could have had a water guy in the ring. The key verses in the Bible dealing with these haymakers we're going to talk about this morning are in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. Paul admits the battle going on inside of him here in this verse. We talked about this verse last week. Paul says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Paul says, all those things that I know are good and I want to do, I end up not doing them. And on the flip side, all those things I don't want to do, guess what? I end up doing them. Paul's in a fight. He's been hit with some haymakers, and he's been knocked down many times in his life. Just read his story. And looking at this, can anyone besides myself relate to what Paul is talking about here? End up doing the things I don't want to do, and not doing the things I do want to do? Paul goes on and says, what a wretched man I am. who will rescue me from this body of death. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul admits that he's messed up. And by his question, we get a sense that he has tried other things to change his life and to fix himself, but to no avail. We can hear the desperation in his plea. Who will rescue me from myself? He says, I've tried everything and nothing helps. It's like someone today saying, you know, I've been watching all the right shows on the Oprah Winfrey Network. I've read Dr. Phil's new book, Life Code. Or I've been to a Wayne Dyer seminar. You know, I've done all these things that the world tells me to do. Done all of them and more, but none of what I've done and what has been promised has helped because I'm still the same wretched person. Notice in this verse, Paul doesn't say, what will rescue me, but who will rescue me. Paul doesn't say what will free me and what will rescue me, because the answer for true and lasting change in any life, yours and mine, isn't just a book, a CD, a seminar, and there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But the true answer is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want us to look at how we can defend ourselves against the devil and these three powerful haymakers that he throws at us. So first, to defend ourselves from the devil's haymaker of shame, we must remind ourselves every day what Jesus did for us. There are a lot of people in churches all across America, and they say they're followers of Jesus Christ, but they don't act like it. See, they go around filled with shame and guilt, and the devil is still beating them up and knocking them down every day in this ring of life. And they've struggled to their feet. They've grabbed the ropes and they've struggled to their feet over and over again. And they've got back in the center of the ring and then in a fight. And the same thing happens to them again and again and again. To stand strong and win against the devil's haymaker of shame, we have to remind ourselves every day what Jesus did for us through his death and his resurrection. In Romans 8, Paul says this, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation means God doesn't judge us for all our sin and the things we've done that are wrong against him if we belong to his son, Jesus Christ. God doesn't judge us. He doesn't condemn us because Jesus took that judgment and that condemnation that we deserved when Jesus went to the cross and died for us and for our sins. You see, God doesn't have to condemn you and me because Jesus took our condemnation when he went to the cross and he died for us there. Do you see the phrase, who belong to Christ Jesus? This refers to people who've asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins and they've given their life over to him. They've made the conscious decision to belong to Christ and follow his agenda for their lives. But don't be deceived or confused. This doesn't apply to people who haven't made that decision yet. Don't sit here today, if you've never received Jesus, and believe you're not under condemnation. Because you're still under God's judgment and condemnation. But if you've asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you've received him into your life, then you belong to him, like Paul said. And the Bible says you're under no condemnation from the devil's haymaker of shame. This verse doesn't say that after we become a Christian and after we belong to Christ that we won't ever sin again. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that because we're going to sin in this ring of life. The verse just says that we're under no condemnation when we do sin. In other words, you and I don't have to walk around with shame or guilt over our past sins and failures. And I would say most of us have some of those. Some of us have more than some. We don't have to do that because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for all the sins we will ever commit, whether those are past sins, whether those are present sins, or whether those are future sins. By his sacrificial death, Jesus not only paid for our past sins of yesterday or last year, but Jesus has already paid for the sins that we haven't yet committed, like paying it forward, tomorrow's sins, next month's sins, next year's sins. Jesus knows them already. And that's the good news for us. There's no condemnation in Christ if we belong to Jesus Christ. So when the devil's haymaker of shame and condemnation comes with my name on it, I can defend myself as I remember Jesus paid for all my sins, past, present, and future. Because he's done that for me, and he's done that for you that belong to Christ, there's no more condemnation and shame for us. And that ought to bring a hearty amen from all of our hearts. Another powerful punch the devil tries to land is the haymaker of uncontrolled, negative, and fearful thoughts. For us to stop getting knocked down to the canvas against this haymaker, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us better thoughts by turning our focus on God. And that's a request, if you ask it of God, that he's going to answer because of what it says in this verse. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Here we see two mindsets. There's the mindset of the way we normally think about our lives, and there's the mindset of how the Holy Spirit sees our lives. And we have to choose between these mindsets. I can't choose for you, you can't choose for me. Will our thoughts be set on fearful and negative scenarios about what may happen to us and our family? Things such as, am I going to lose my job in the next layoff? Is this physical exam going to reveal a disease that may kill me? Is my marriage always going to be about fighting and conflict? Will my child ever quit running with the wrong crowd? These are examples of one mindset of fearful and negative thoughts. Now, the other mindset will challenge me to set my mind and my thoughts and my thinking on what God wants me to think about my life. The outcomes that you and I achieve in our lives will depend on which mindset that we choose. Paul says the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So here's our choice today and every day. A mind filled with negative and fearful thoughts based on what if and what might happen and not based on God's love and mercy and goodness. Or do we want our minds filled with thoughts controlled by the Holy Spirit, which will bring peace and life as we focus on God and God's love and God's goodness and God's forgiveness and every other great attribute of God in the Word of God. You know, the economy may not improve this year, and that can be a fearful prospect for many of us. Some of our personal problems may not get better in 2013 in this ring of life. And that can cause us to become negative and pessimistic in our thinking. The world may become a more dangerous place in which to live, which can cause concern and anxiety in all of us and for our children and our grandchildren. In spite of all this, our mindset can change. And that's the difference between a life of negative and fearful thoughts and thoughts of peace and abundant life when our thinking is controlled by God's Spirit. See, asking the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts which focus on God and His goodness and His love is the answer to those uncontrolled negative and fearful thoughts that come into my mind. And this is the principle of replacement. The principle of a replacement says this: anytime you want to change something in your life and you're serious about changing it, you don't just resist it by gritting and say, "Oh, I want to change it." No, it's not resist it, it's replace it. When you've got some uncontrolled negative and fearful thinking going on in your life, you don't just try to resist it. No, you replace it with thoughts about your Heavenly Father and His sovereign grace and care and mercy for you and your family in this life and the life to come. Paul puts it this way: summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'd do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Satan gives you and me many choices of things to think about that aren't going to honor and glorify God. But ultimately, we can say no to that, and we can choose what we focus on and what we think about. And when we become a follower of Jesus, we're given a powerful helper in all of this. Jesus promised, and He delivered with the Holy Spirit. And we can say, "Holy Spirit, I want You to give me Your ideas and Your thoughts in this ring of life that I'm in every day. Ideas and thoughts that are the best, not the worst. Ideas and thoughts that are beautiful, not ugly. Ideas and thoughts of things to praise You about and not things to curse about." So if you want to stand against the haymaker of uncontrolled, negative, and fearful thoughts, I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to put some good and some godly thoughts in your mind. Watch what you read. Watch what you listen to. Fill your mind with good stuff. The third haymaker that I must defend against in this ring of life is one of self-destructive compulsions. And to do this, I must realize I have a new ability to say no to them. Now that I'm a believer, I belong to Jesus Christ, I have a new ability to say no to the self-destructive compulsions in my life. And this is very important, because before we became believers, all we had was our willpower. And willpower has a way of wearing thin and wearing out. And when it wears out, we lose out to those bad habits and destructive compulsions because willpower just isn't enough, my friends. But with Christ in our lives, we have a new ability and a new power to say no to that haymaker that gets thrown at us. Many of us don't like to admit it. But before we had Jesus in our lives, there were some things that we just had a hard time saying no to, or we just literally couldn't say no to. Our willpower was inadequate, and we didn't have the ability in and of ourselves to say no. You can call those things compulsions or habits or urges or impulses. You can call them lusts. But the truth is, there were some things in our lives, if we would be honest, that we couldn't say no to. We couldn't say no because, again, all we had was our willpower, and we found out that that wasn't enough. But now that we're followers of Christ and we belong to Him, we have God's power, and He gives us the ability to say no. Writing in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says this: "What I say is this, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature." If I let Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit direct my life, does this verse say I won't have those desires? No, it doesn't say that. It says I won't satisfy those desires. Those desires, even as they stalk me around this ring of life, trying to get me in a corner, trying to knock me down again, take me out, trying to land that haymaker. In other words, I could still have the same desires I had before I became a Christian. Yes. Could I still have the same temptations before I became a Christian? Yes, you can. Could I still have the same urges and self-destructive compulsions before I became a Christian? Yes, we can. We can have them, but do we have to fulfill them? No. I don't have to fulfill those self-destructive compulsions because I have a new power inside of me to say no to them. I now have the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm not just running on my own willpower and my own self-determination, trying to stay away. When somebody says to me, "You know, I'm a follower of Christ, David, but I couldn't stop myself from doing," and you can fill in the blank. I don't believe these people are really telling the whole truth in that statement. The whole truth is they couldn't stop themselves because they didn't call on the power that was available to them. They didn't rely on the power that's been given to us, that Jesus has made available through the Holy Spirit. When they had those compulsive moments of temptation, when they're back against the ropes, when they were taking one haymaker after another, we've all seen tragic stories in the newspapers, on TV, magazines, about people losing their marriages, their families, their careers, all because of failure with self-destructive compulsions. Some of you may know firsthand what I'm talking about. Fortunately for us, that haymaker of self-destructive compulsions that the devil throws at us, it can be stopped Because God gives us a new power and a new ability to say no. So there we have it. Three deadly haymakers. From the most powerful foe that we will ever face when we get in the ring of life every day. There's shame and guilt. Uncontrolled, negative, and fearful thoughts. And self-destructive compulsions. You see, I know the referee might as well count me out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's no reason prolonging it. The referee might as well count me out because I know I can't last one round on my own against these haymakers. You see, I need more than a cut man over here in my corner patching me up. They better bring out a body bag for me. If I think I can get in the ring of life in my own power and with my own resources and go toe-to-toe with the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly world, I know I can't do it. Maybe you're better than me and you can do it. But I agree with Paul that I'm a wretched man, that I'm a messed up man who's incapable of defending himself against the devil's haymakers. And I know every day in this ring of life, I have to throw myself on God's mercy and God's grace and ask him, Jesus, take those haymakers for me, just like you did on the cross. I know the only one who can rescue me is the Lord Jesus Christ. I know with his help, I can get in this ring of life with the devil and with the powers of darkness, and I can proclaim with confidence this verse. I want us to read it together. And if you're here today, I want you to, and you're struggling with a haymaker, it may not be one of these three, but you know what I'm talking about, being on the ropes, having the devil pummel you. So I want you to read this not just with your brain, but I want you to read it from your heart. So let's read it together. Christ gives me the strength to face anything. One more time. Christ gives me the strength to face anything. You know, the question is, do we believe this Bible verse? Do we believe Jesus will give us the power and the strength to face anything that the devil throws at us today, tomorrow, the rest of our life? You know, really, it comes down to, friends, this is either truth or it's a lie. And a lot of us live our lives as if that's a lie. But Paul, having been knocked down numerous times in that ring of life that he ran, he knew it to be true in his life. And there have been millions of believers down through the ages who could say it was true for them too. And my prayer for you as one of the pastors of this church and as your brother in Christ, whether I was a pastor of this church or not, my prayer for everyone who calls Christ as their Lord and Savior is that we will believe this and we would find it true in our life. Not if and when we face the devil's haymakers, because we're going to face them. But as we face the devil's haymakers, we'll find it true. So I say to the devil, let the haymakers come. They're going to come. We're in this ring. You're in here too. Let them come. Hit us with your best shot, devil. fire away. I believe with all my heart in that verse. And I believe that Christ will give us all we need to face those haymakers and not be knocked out. In a moment, there'll be some people standing on both sides of the front of the platform here, stage. And they're your friends from this church. They're people who love you, people who care for you. And if you're battling a haymaker today, whatever it might be, I challenge you to get out of your seat by faith and come forward and let someone pray with you, stand there with you and intercede before the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. There's not a one of us here that's not in the ring of life. Not a one of us here that can just put up the white flag and say, devil, don't hit me again. Because his haymakers are relentless. He doesn't play fair. He never has, never will. Lord, there are some of us in here that know what a haymaker feels like. And I pray today that they will latch on to this verse, that Christ gives us the strength to face anything. When we call upon him, we call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you will take those blows. You will fight those battles for us. And I pray for those people in this place today, Lord. I've been where some of them are. It's past the 10 count, and I'm still down. I pray for them today, Lord Jesus, as you lift them off the canvas and as you give them new hope and new strength by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will know that you love them, that you have a plan for them, and that you will walk with them and be with them in the ring every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.